Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 220. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back again. So to the grind. It's been a long week, long weekend, lack of sleep, but I'm ready to rock and roll. Here's what I got for you. I'm going to go over what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, which constitutes 2 years ago, episode 120. We entitled hashtag We Are Robin. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain, rock some catch up and shoot the shit on NFL talk. Hashtag football talk week 15 predictions, along with some hashtag fantasy football updates and some Twitter love. We hit what the fuck news. Jail mistakenly releases inmate after she poses as cellmate. Is that really hard to do? Next one's going to be paranoid pot grower calls 911 on himself after hearing helicopter. So dude's just wigging balls. We hit woman is wounded in stabbing at a Florida nudist resort. Well, of course we're going to get hit Florida at some point. We hit man asleep inside trash bin survives garbage truck compactor. Wow. I wouldn't have had that great of luck. Edmonton woman planned to kill family of eight over land dispute. So if you guys want to go back to these episodes, it's literally 100 episodes ago, constitutes 2 years. A woman planned to kill family of eight. Anyways, that one just sounds fucking gnarly to me already. We hit giant penis Xmas lights, Christmas lights. So yeah, that was during Christmas time. So could you put the giant penis Christmas lights on your house? Are you that ballsy, I guess? We hit comic talk, comic news, trailers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, Independence Day Resurgence, we hit X-Men Age of Apocalypse, Star Trek Beyond, and Marvel and DC comic talk. We hit comic reviews, Deadpool number 3, Grayson number 15, Robin War Part 2, we hit Detective Comics number 47, Robin War Part 3, we hit Scarlet Witch number 1, Secret Wars number 8, which was a great series and event, by the way, from Marvel, and then we actually hit hashtag which Robin are you, and which school of training would you want? So the Robins are going to be, the first one's going to be Dick Grayson, turns into Nightwing. The second one's going to be Jason Todd is murdered by the Joker. I love Red Hood. He becomes Red Hood. We hit Tim Drake next, figures out, oh, your Bruce Wayne is Batman. That's Tim Drake. He becomes Red Robin. And the final Robin is going to be Damian Wayne. And out of all the ones I would want to be trained by, I would probably be just me being me is Dick, just because Dick Grayson's the shit. Everyone has that respect for him. So yeah, to get trained by him, Jason Todd would be good too. Cause if you want to become an assassin, Dick Grayson's call would be like to be, no, there's still no killing. And Jason Todd has adopted that moniker since like, okay, the Bat family doesn't kill. We don't kill. Same thing with Tim Drake, except he's more sciencey. So if you guys are a science person, that would probably be yours. Damian Wayne is just a fucking kid, 12-year-old kid, assassin, trained to be assassin by his grandfather, Talia al Ghul. I'm sorry, his mom, Talia al Ghul, and his grandfather, Ra's al Ghul. So the thought process behind that was kind of cool because I think we broke that down. But again, I would probably say Nightwing and then Jason Todd, Red Hood, would be my top two. All right, guys, I'm going to hit a few things real quick. This is hopefully going to be a quicker show than last week. First thing I want to hit is I finally sold out and conformed now to a new phone. And I finally succumbed to this. Now, a bunch of people on the show that have listened know that I don't care for technology. Like, I'm the type of guy where I want my phone to die. Like, you guys understand, like, the unplugging for me is just a great feeling, dude. Like, you gotta look at it from the way I'm trying to put it to people, and I do sound weird, but it's like, I need to fucking unplug. I need to unwind. I need to stay as far away from social media. I need to stay away from being on a screen all fucking day. But that's why I'm considering myself a sellout and saying I did conform, because actually I did conform. I had a Galaxy S6, purchased a new Galaxy S9. I know it was total sellout, but I did it more so because I had San Diego Comic Con coming up this week now. Last week, I believe I mentioned it was last week. Guess what, dude? I've been working so much. My days have been jumbled just a little bit. I've been telling people on the break coming back from after 4th of July at the office, happy Monday. And they're like, it's Thursday day. It's like, oh, fuck me. My days are just completely jumbled. So walking in yesterday to work, I'm telling people happy Friday. And I was closing both, the weekend. So it's like, ooh, yeah, it's not Monday. But people were telling me back, happy Friday, Josias. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it's not even Friday. So I probably sent that message to them like, ooh, they're thinking it's Friday. Anyways, my days have been jumbled. And I am a sellout, by the way, guys. So I need and love and want to unplug. That's just me. That doesn't make me weird. I don't need to be on video games. I don't need to be on my phone. I don't need to be watching TV. I'm not a huge TV watcher anyways, and I will go into somewhere with this. But that's one of the things I wanted to hit. On top of that, I really want to hit new phone updates and password issues. And I guess it gives me a talking point on this. How many different passwords do you have or use in your typical day-to-day life? Like, I work two jobs. So at work at the office, I have about 8 to 9. So Carl, myself, RG, Victoria, Christine, like, legit, look at it. Like, it's your office. How many passwords do you think you have? Just office in general. On top of that, how many do you have or use on your typical day-to-day life? Now, this is including apps. This is including Facebook, Twitter, fucking your bank, whatever that might be, Google Play, whatever store you use, whatever app you might have. I'm pulling this up for a reason because I had to update my phone, and it took me a while to reset a lot of passwords because I have a grip load of passwords. I'll go into mine, but I'm really curious if I should put up a poll on this, like, normal people, their day-to-day lives, like, how many passwords do you have? And don't tell me you're one of those idiots that you have the same password for fucking everything, because you're just an idiot if you do that. So counting mine and like, okay, this would make a decent conversation by myself, solo, of course, you guys know that, is how many do you have? So work life, professional, personal life, both apps, everything. At work again, I have 8 to 9. At the second job, I have about 2 to 3 passwords that I use. Personal day-to-day use and social media, emails, apps, everything, I counted them. I have about 27. I have about 3 personal email addresses, and that's Microsoft, that's fucking Gmail, that's fucking Yahoo.com. Like, not even including the Nerdbong.com ones I have either. So, technically, I have about maybe 35 to 40 passwords that I use just in general, and I thought that was a good talking point, a good leading off point, especially because I don't have much to talk about, so I just needed to hit these points that I made for myself. Now, because of a new phone and new passwords and new data and new everything, and yes, I know there are apps for, you can store all your passwords in one spot. Yes, I get that. I understand that. It's just doing it and having to redo it. Now, I got the new phone, again, for San Diego Comic Con. Like, my phone was legit dying, and I'm like, oh, please die, please die, please die. You're almost dead. And knowing in the back of my head, like, ah, oh, fuck, I got San Diego Comic Con. Like, I need content. I need to record. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need pictures. I need videos. So, and doing it again solo is going to fucking suck dick out there, but I'll go into exactly what I'm going to do out in San Diego, which is going to be interesting or stupid or funny or odd to you guys. So again, leading up to this password day, this new phone thing, I'm going to talk about, because of this new phone purchase, how I almost lost something. Now, I was legit freaked out about this, like legit, like I'm like, oh my God, let me download one more app. And it was my Podbean app. And I'm like, okay, I got a bunch of shit stored, episodes of deep dives and rabbit holes on that app. And once I download the app, I'm like, oh, fuck me. Like, did it transfer over? Like, did I get everything over to the new phone? It was gone. Everything was fucking gone. I got my new phone on, fuck me, Friday night after the office. Night off Friday night. The rest of the weekend fucking sucks. Second job, just working, closing late, getting no sleep. But that Friday night, I'm like, oh my God, like I felt bad, terrible. Like, not because of necessarily, because I lost an episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, a teaser. I have a bunch of them banked up. We could have tossed out any of them and it would have been like, I lost all of them. Now, again, I felt bad, but I felt worse because I'm like, oh my God, RG did good, and how am I going to break it to him? What's the biggest thing? Weird. And I'm like, ah, oh, fuck. And I got over it kind of quick. Like, honestly, I got over it quick. Again, I would have felt terrible to tell RG, like, fuck, I lost about a grip load of episodes. We did X amount. And I would have felt terrible. I mean, homeboy just left right now. We recorded another one on the side. And I still feel bad now. It's up, the one I did put up. And we didn't lose everything, which is great. Now, information was saved on my old phone. I literally had to jump on my old phone. And it's like, okay, the data was still there. I still got to pull. And I have access to that still. RG, I'm sorry. I didn't want to freak you out. I didn't want to hit you up and text you and be like, ooh, this is something RG shouldn't worry about. But it's one of those fucking things that does happen when you're recording. Now, same premises I spoke about. Actually, Adam and I have had interviews. We've lost episodes before. And an important thing about podcasting is always have a secondary recording option. So the normal recording, and then fuck it, if you can toss in another recorder on top of it, that way you always have some sort of information saving what you guys spoke about. Doing it solo, again, is harder to do. Like, so many moving parts. So whoever wants to talk shit, like, so many moving parts by yourself is just like, ooh, yeah, I dropped the ball there. Again, felt so bad. So that's another point I want to make is Adam and I interviewed Joshua Williamson probably about 15 episodes into the Comic Syndicate, and we lost a legit great conversation piece. Like, he's dropping information, and it's like, oh, wow, this is great for the podcast. This is great content. And then bad. And it wasn't the first time it happened. Like, it does fucking happen. And again, it almost happened to one of maybe the whole bank of fucking deep dives and rabbit holes. Again, thank goodness they were there. So backup option was there, kind of. But now it's going to keep me more on track. Like, oh, fuck, we need backup options on top of that. Again, a bigger headache because I'm doing it by myself. And it's tough to fucking do. So many rolling parts and so many moving parts, and it's everything. And I got to do this for you guys and for myself too. So always do that. But on top of that, dude, it did get it put up. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was in episode 219.1 of the Comic Syndicate. It was called, oh, fuck me, dude. What do we call that one? Episode 219.1. Hashtag just the tip. Which is, well, the tipping episode, I believe I put out. It was the first one I went with. We're going to have a few more. We're going to bank a few more. Some of them are funny. Some of them are like, ooh, do we want to put this one out? Do we want to put that one out? But that's pretty much just to get it out of our system on, you know what? Let's just get something out. So that's pretty much where I'm coming from, guys. If you guys did enjoy the podcast last week, either mine or Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, hit up the Facebook page, Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Hit up Twitter and Instagram. Deep Dives are on Twitter, and Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Just find us on Instagram. If you guys ever need me, I'm always at comics_syndicate on Instagram. That was just scary talk because I didn't want RG's work and my work to be like, oh, fuck, like, Josias. And then RG, again, apologies, dude. Like, I didn't want you to freak out over anything and nothing, really, because I still have what we worked on. So that's it, man. I didn't want to bust your balls in that way. Anyways, that's the first half of the show. I'm going to jump in back shortly with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. And you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comics Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to my rant about what I could have lost and what almost did happen. But here we go, comic talk, dude. Netflix orders series about crime-fighting Sigmund Freud and psychic partner. So Netflix has ordered an Austrian series about famed psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud, who is hot on the trail of a serial killer. I'm kind of intrigued, but I don't watch TV. Next one's going to be Netflix Stakes Castlevania Season 2 for October release. I've heard good things about it. Still haven't seen it. So it's something up my alley. Still on Netflix. Netflix testing new pricier ultra, quote-unquote, subscription tier. The new tier will test if audiences are willing to pay more for content in HDR format, or to have access to 4 Ultra HD streams. Netflix has announced plans to test out yet another price tier. The quote-unquote Ultra streaming plan will test the waters to see if audiences are willing to pay more for content in an HDR format, or to have access to 4 Ultra HD streams. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, Netflix is, what, $9.99 a month? I don't watch enough TV, or actually, no, I watch the perfect amount of TV, like I'm not just sucked into it, like a lot of people are. How do you guys feel about $15-$20 buck tiers to watch it in better quality, I guess? Next one's going to be Star Wars Episode 9 enlists Carrie Russell for action-heavy role. So she was the chick from, I want to say Felicity. Never saw Felicity, so don't know what that is. Billy Dee Williams to reprise role as Lando Calrissian in Episode 9, so I'm pretty jazzed about that. Keanu Reeves reveals John Wick 3 title. Now, I'm a huge John Wick fucking fan. Many of us may have been operating under the impression the third installment of the John Wick franchise is called simply John Wick Chapter 3. However, it turns out we were wrong. In an interview with Coming Soon, star Keanu Reeves revealed the title is actually John Wick, Parabellum. But what does it mean? Prepare for war, he told the website. It's part of the famous sentence, ooh, si vis pacem parabellum, which translates as, if you want peace, prepare for war. I'm fucking down with that. Next one's going to be Jeremy Renner officially joins Spawn Reboot. Now, if he's going to be Clown, who would he play? Like, I'm trying to figure out which character he would be in the Spawn world. And we got, next one's Marvel Studios claims it has no plans yet for X-Men or Fantastic Four, which is good. Now, on top of that one, this one came out today. Marvel Studios shuffles 2021 release calendar. Disney has moved up the release of an untitled Marvel Studios film from July 2021 to February 2021. Begin your speculation. Now, Marvel Studios fans will get to see one superhero film in 2021 more than 5 months earlier. But the question is, which one? Disney has moved an untitled Marvel movie from July 30th, 2021 to February 12th, 2021. An untitled live-action Disney release will slip into that summer date instead. So they're working on A Whole New World. What the fuck is that, dude? Aladdin, yeah. So I know they're working on that one. So now the question is like, okay, after Ant-Man and the Wasp, like it did great opening weekend. So would it be that one? Is it going to be Spider-Man? Is it going to be Captain Marvel? Now going on, it's hopefully they're working on game plans like to bring their other characters in, which would be dope. Now let's go to my favorite, DC. DC's version of the extended universe. Birds of Prey movie could shoot as early as January 2019. That's technically not too far off because, fuck, we're mid-2018 already. We hit, the next one's going to be, fuck, Birds of Prey will include Barbara Gordon, but not Batgirl. Do we want that? Do we care? I don't know. Anyways, last part's going to be comic fucking reviews, guys. First one I'm going to hit is going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1 from Marvel. Donny Cates is the writer, Dylan Burnett is the artist, Antonio Fabella is the inker. This one was an odd read that I just had to jump into because of the Thanos that Jeff Lemire was writing, and then Donny Cates took over and is actually currently writing. Even though he did a great, you know, great origin story of this Cosmic Ghost Rider, it goes more back into his story a little bit further, and I think I liked it. Like, the art wasn't the best, but the way the story went, I kind of dug. So it goes through his Frank Castle, his single panels of being a soldier. It says soldier, panel, family, war on terror, death, which is Thanos. He goes to hell after dying, and he had makes a deal with Mephisto, who is one of Satan's right-hand men, I guess, becoming Ghost Rider. Like, and then it goes through him going through madness. Like, fuck, we've killed everyone. Like, I have no one to fucking talk to, which is fucked up to see. It says Devour and Galactus being like, okay, where the fuck is everyone? It's like Thanos killed everyone. He's like, I need someone to fucking talk to. He's like, okay, let me give you more powers on top of that. He gives him cosmic powers. So it's Punisher Frank Castle becoming Ghost Rider and then getting cosmic powers on top of that, which was just interesting. And then it comes him working for Thanos eventually and then dying eventually. And then coming back to life because Thanos has this great power eventually. And then when Silver Surfer, Onyx Surfer, I guess, comes into play again, which is the Thanos I reviewed, I want to say one of the first episodes back, him dying again. And now we see him. This story starts off after all this in Valhalla. And it's just a fucking trip of a story. So I guess the heavens of the gods, I guess, pretty much. So now, or of Asgard. So now we see him living here and hating fucking every minute of it. And it's just, I don't want to say odd, but like Odin is like, why do you spit on my face after I tore apart the fabric of space to retrieve you from a dead timeline? And we see a great response from Frank. And his response, he's like an old man now. He's like in Valhalla. So he's just an old man, no suit, just his shirt with a fucking skull on it. His is this typical Punisher Frank response. I get a reward. Well, my family is still dead. And no one ever ripped time apart to give them nothing. Ask me again why I spit in your face. And it's cool because now Odin gives him a sort of option. He's like, stay in Valhalla and be miserable. Or I can give you your powers back and you can become the cosmic Ghost Rider again. And he says, if you believe your eternity would be better spent fulfilling some unfinished vengeful task, so be it. And his response is, okay, but will I still be me? Will I keep my mind this time? So now, even, you know, with Odin, he's able to send him back and into any timeline he wants. He's like, I want you to send me back to where this whole ugly thing started, where it all went wrong. And he chooses Titan. And it goes into Frank Castle, Cosmic Ghost Rider. Now, and his first inner monologue is, how come no one ever went back and killed this evil little bastard in his crib? Well, here's your answer. Someone did. Titan is where Thanos was born. And he's like, fuck it. Let me kill baby Thanos. And it's really interesting, just the pages again. The art wasn't the best, but it really went well with a gritty, odd fucking story. And I enjoyed it, and Thanos, young Thanos, and we see Cosmic Ghost Rider, and he's about to kill a baby. It sounds terrible, yes, but it's like, do we each have the balls to fucking kill a baby? And he's kind of right, and he's kind of wrong. Like, you know, how do you guys feel about it? And this kid is just attacking him, and he's like, holy shit, was this kid always this evil? Even as a baby, like, this kid is fighting back. He picks up the fucking kid and he gives him a penance glare, which all Ghost Riders can do. They show you all your pains, your struggles, your emotions. And it's supposed to make you feel so terrible. You're looking at a reflection of yourself in a fucking fucked up, distorted, or personal way that would hurt you. And he's looking at this kid and this kid just looks at him, this baby. He's like, what was that? That seemed familiar, but I don't get it. And this kid, this baby, tells Punisher this. And Punisher, Cosmic Ghost Rider, I guess, says to himself, fuck, I would always do this to older Thanos. Like, he loved seeing all the pain he was always inflicting on the worlds he was conquering, the people, the planets he was killing. And it's like, fuck, it's not working on him because he hasn't done those bad things yet, those terrible things yet. So why would this kid feel bad about anything he hasn't done anything wrong yet? And that's where it got interesting. I'm like, okay, this is kind of worth fucking talking about. Like, so it's weird because he kind of kidnaps this fucking baby Thanos and he's like on the run with this fucking kid that could be essentially worse than baby Hitler. And that's the story. That was issue number one. And I'm like, that's an odd fucking take on both characters. Frank Castle as Ghost Rider with cosmic powers, babysitting a baby Thanos? ? So again, I think that's why I was more drawn to it. It's like, it's different. It's a different take on both fucking characters. A baby Thanos, and he doesn't have the ability to snap his fingers yet, although he becomes powerful. Like, when this kid grows up depends on how long the story is going to go. When the kid grows up, he's like, I like this fucking Ghost Rider character. And if somebody fucks with him, it's going to be like, oh no, you're fucking with my babysitter. Like, how is that going to go from there? So anyways, interesting. I liked it. I enjoyed it. That one just dropped. It was cool. My next reviews are going to be straight up East of West, number 35 through 36. I love the fuck out of East of West. It's an Image Comics title. Jonathan Hickman is the writer. Nick Dragota is the artist. Dude, type up Nick Dragota, D-R-A-G-O-T-T-A. His art's fucking dope. Type in East of West. And he's got some amazing fucking art. So this story, quick up to date. Oh, jeez. It's a dystopian future timeline where the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse are supposed to come back and wreak terror on the world. Now, this one is, I don't want to say Pangea type of world we're living in, but kind of different nations. And each nation is taken over by different factions of, I don't want to say beliefs, but almost nationalities to a certain extent. And I don't want to say all mutants, anything like that. It's just regular people, minus the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So this one, just a quick up-to-date, is the Three Horsemen are back now. They're all kids. Death was supposed to come back with them. Death fell in love and had a kid named Babylon. Him and his wife, Xiaolin, had a kid. And I've always praised this title because it's so fucking good. And it's going to end soon. And I'm so fucking sad and pissed. And I love it at the same time. Jonathan Hickman is the writer. Frank Marin's the inker. And the kids come back. And they're all just fucking maybe, what, 12-year-old little kids. Death has been a man the whole time. And it's like, ooh, no, the message still has to go on. Like, we still have to cause destruction on the earth. And the only way to do it, since Death is gone now, we have to go for his fucking seed. We have to go for his kid. And his kid has to be like, fuck me, 5 years old. And he's been entrapped in this fucking technology state where his vision of the world is so obscure and so fucking blurred that it's just so fucked up to see the panels of what this 5-year-old kid sees. And it's terrible and beautiful at the same time. And Death being Death, and like, he's the asshole. No one should like him. Is written beautiful because he's a dad and he gives a shit about his kid. It is gorgeous to me. And his wife is dope. So I guess, quick up to date again. The Three Horsemen are on their way to find Babylon. Death has already found his son Babylon along with Balloon. Which is, again, this fucked up technology thing that's always plugged into Babylon's eyes. Again, poor kid. They're on their way to save Babylon's mom, which is Death's wife, Xiaolin, again. Just dope to see how the dynamic works in such a short time, especially because of the way Babylon looks at life and death. Like, and he even asks his dad, can I ask you something? What was she like? Death's answer is, for the first time ever, someone made me not want to be a monster. And now I get to do something for her. Bring you back home. So again, that they always go through this. Like, I love how the series Hickman, Jonathan Hickman, drops small inserts before different chapters and titles and issues, and how they make sense. Like, you would read something, all the dialogue is, there's no mercy, no forgiveness. We would tell you to pray, but it wouldn't do you any good. And then, like, shit, like, you have earned what is coming to you. And that, like, starts off the comic, and it's like, none of this makes sense. But all the while the story is going through, it makes sense. So there's this giant war now going on between the Union and the Endless Nation, led by Wolf. He's a great character. All these characters are great. This title is going to end, I want to say, with issue, I want to say 40, 42. But, it's worth reading, guys. So many characters, but the way Jonathan Hickman, he's a long-haul writer. And it all makes sense in the end. It's like, oh, where's this character been? Oh, there you go. And it's just really dope. So now the aftermath is pretty much now Wolf winning this war, but giving up his title because he was infected by, in some twisted way, and needing to express, quote-unquote, this message. And there's the message and different types of characters where everyone has had this message in certain factions. One person has got this message, and it's supposed to be like the unspoken or unwritten words of The Apocalypse, The End Days. And I think that's what intrigues me the most about this title. It's just really fucking dope. East of West number 37 starts now. That was just a precursor to Jonathan Hickman. Still everyone's team. Same team as far as Nick Dragota, Frank Martin. Starts off with an old character, Archibald, shooting and leaving a sheriff for dead. We see him now, however, slightly able to survive, and as he buries his companion, I guess, futuristic dog, Red. He's like, I asked for mercy. I settled for justice. Now all that remains is revenge. He was left for dead, this sheriff. So as we see him rush off and bleeding out, he finally arrives at the closest outpost where they rush to save his life now. So now, like, a week has gone through and he's passed out. He's still laying in his hospital gurney, and he starts dressing to head back out to work. Like, I feel this guy already. This time with, like, a bigger chip on his shoulder now, like, looking to take out the Chosen is what they are. He finds a spot, goes back to work, leads. He's a sheriff, so he's got leads. Solomon Bell, Archibald Chamberlain, Antonio LaVey, John Freeman are the Chosen. These are the ones that have had glimpses of the, quote-unquote, the message, the end times. So as he continues on, we see him come across the Three Horsemen, and this is an odd scene. Like, the kids don't know him. Famine, War, Pestilence don't fucking know him. And the odd, weird, funny interaction between them is, he's like, get the fuck out of my way, kids. He's like, and they're like, he doesn't know who they are. They don't know who he is. And the kids look at each other. Are we going to stick him? And when the kid says, God, no. Take a look. That man has a murderous spirit ready to unleash it on the world. If anything, we should wish him luck. So it's just a man that has lost everything. And even the Three Horsemen of the Apocalypse are like, you know what? No, rampage, be a savage, go fucking do your fucking thing. Like, that's what they live for. And that's all the Ranger has left. So it's fucked up, but it's beautiful. Again, odd, trippy fucking interaction. I loved it that they offer him a bit of help on his mission. So just to see the panels of him pulling out and loading his weapons is dope to see from Nick Dragota. Like, his mission now is like, you guys took everything from me. And if I have to stop all you assholes, all you corrupt motherfuckers, the Chosen, quote-unquote, from giving out your quote-unquote message that's bullshit anyways, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to kill you. And that sounds terrible, but in comics and reviewing a comic, I can fucking say that. But again, the art panels, the pages and the panels of the loading of the weapons, like, Nick Dragota's art is fucking dope, is amazing. I've been on this title for the longest time, and it's gorgeous. Again, I'm bummed out that it is going to end soon. And it's a world I think more people should read. It's darker, it's gritty. The way the panels are just gorgeous, but Jonathan Hickman plays the long game, and I don't want this world to end, but I'm curious to see how Babylon's finally going to realize, like, shit, you guys have been fucking with me the whole time, and to finally take the eye plugs off his eyes and to see his dad for the first time, as opposed to some distorted version or vision, I guess, he's seen of the world in general. Like, I've read reviewed where they walk into a graveyard and he sees nothing but, like, puppy dogs and, like, look at this, Dad, look what I found. I found a teddy bear and it's a skull. And it's like, and Death looks at him like, and how do you tell your kid, like, that's not a fucking teddy bear, kid. But again, the world Babylon knows, probably 5-6 years old, and knowing what you're told compared to what you see. The aspects, you know, is always beautiful to me. So the fact that Jonathan Hickman is able to write that into the story, I'm digging. I've loved it for the longest time. Go find it. Find trade paperbacks. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for listening still to the podcast, guys. I know it sucks hearing me solo. I know you guys want to hear more of me with people, and I'm going to reach out to more friends to get more people on again, to have RG back on and just be like, let me follow my lead, and we can definitely rock out a show. Like, I don't need the help, I don't think, but to have somebody else to bounce ideas off of is probably what I miss more than anything. So, in saying that, I hope you guys enjoyed my reviews. But hopefully you guys are seeing little by little the pieces that are going into this giant puzzle I'm working on. And you know what? I do work a lot. I'm very sleep-deprived this weekend again. And I got Comic-Con coming up. And speaking of Comic-Con, fuck, let me hit that real quick. I have nothing but shows, media, press, bullshit, lined up. And I always feel like I can never be a hypocrite. Like, I don't want to interview somebody on a show. I don't watch TV. Like, I have more better important things to be doing, reading, writing, for my own sake, just to keep me doing something. If it's a baseball game, give me a football game all season long. I can do that and watch and enjoy it. As far as investing, I don't have the time to invest in a TV show. So why the fuck am I going to do it? And on top of that, if I'm not investing that time in a TV show, why the fuck would I want to interview someone like I know a lot of people would? Like, look at it this way, guys. Would you rather have me be fake talking to somebody and shooting the shit with them, bullshitting them around just because they're famous or popular or on TV? Like, known actors, known actresses that you guys would be like, oh shit, I would love to talk to them. And I could survive that. But at the same time, I would feel like a hypocrite. Like, Josias, as a man, would feel like a hypocrite, and I would feel fake. And I don't want to do that. It's disrespectful to do to the person I'm talking to, and it's very disrespectful to do to myself. And it's even more disrespectful to do to you guys, the audience, knowing, like, oh, he turned into hypocrite Josias, and I never want to be that guy. So I'm giving up a lot, yes. As far as, again, I would love to talk to those people. You guys would probably look at it the same way too, but that's not me. That's not my world. That's not my thing, and I can't do that. It would be unfair to every party involved, and I would never do that. So that's where I'm coming from. San Diego Comic-Con legit now is next week, and I have honestly – I have nothing but parties fucking lined up. I got a bunch of DC fucking interviews lined up. Maybe an interview besides that. And I signed myself up for fucking parties. Like, there's a Deadpool 2 release fucking party. There's another, like, web series party. And it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'd rather party. Let's do something Josias knows how to do in a fucking party, as opposed to, like, talk to someone like, I don't watch your show. I'm just going to try to make you impressed by my talking abilities. Which I can do. I was like, you know what? No, fuck it. Let me enjoy myself for once. You know, like, I'm solo. I get to mingle with fucking everyone, and I'm going to try to enjoy it for once. And wherever I get pulled, I get pulled. And that's about it, dude. We're going to see what content I have. But my new phone, I sold out for, is ready to go and ready to gun. And we're going to just rock and roll and have a good time. And that's the goal. Have a good time. And that's it. All right, guys. Share the podcast more than anything. I'm so sorry to go off on a tangent. Again, I keep doing that. Share the podcast. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter. Find us at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter as well. Go to at CS Bell. Ding. It's still around somewhere. At Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Share the podcast more than anything. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. But again, more than anything, guys, share the podcast. It just means more to me. I hear too many podcasts where it's like, you know, rate us. Rating would be nice. Leave a review too. Yes, that helps my numbers out too. I don't care about numbers. I just want to know you guys are fucking having a conversation about it. That's it. That's all I care about. I'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for my tangent, and I'm probably going to record from San Diego Comic-Con next week. Peace out.